Let's go right into God's Word, Ephesians chapter 1. We've been on a series about our inheritance. We're heirs of salvation. We're joint heirs with Jesus. He died, and He's committed to us sacred provision. He's given us, the Bible says, precious and magnificent promises. We have promises that are true. We have a faithful promiser. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8:56 that not one word of His promises have failed that have been promised through Moses. That was the old covenant. We have a new covenant, a new connection with God that's totally resolved by the blood of Jesus. And as we go to the book of Ephesians, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The reason is, the inheritance, if it's not known about, will never be obtainable. How would you even know to get something if you don't know it's there? And we know in Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people perish or are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The Bible talks about how quickly the thief comes to steal the word. So we know that information and revelation and illumination are critical. So I pray today you'll get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that it goes beyond this moment. I pray that you will have the Holy Spirit move on you in such a way that it will revitalize your awareness. It'll bring clarity to your thought processes and help you to see who He is and what He's done and what He's supplied for you. Yeah. This 14-verse snapshot in the first part of Ephesians is so powerful. It's such a concentration of spiritual protein. You know, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and you know, as we mature, we're to desire the meat of the Word, and both of those are protein enriched. Protein is the builder of our bodies. Spiritual protein comes into our lives and it brings us into strength. It brings us into a place of stability and of abundance. It puts the lean muscle mass on your spiritual internal framework. God wants you to be spiritually strong. We're to grow up in all aspects in Him. Now, the Bible says He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So I want to just say up front that we have provision in this life and in the life to come. The lion's share, the biggest percentage by far of our inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about an inheritance that's eternal. It's reserved for us in heaven. Paul said we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So there are things that I cannot even describe to you. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him." Make no mistake about it. The most fantastic blessing awaits you on the other side. There is something so amazing reserved for us in heaven that if I prayed for 24 hours a day, if I fasted 40 days and nights, there would be things that God would just not disclose. He's chosen not to disclose them until we get to the other side. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things God has prepared before us who love Him. Okay, having said that, there are still some things that we have inherited in this life. Okay? So there are some things that are disclosed to us. Even when they try to describe heaven in the book of Revelation or the encounters different people have had, heaven that opened up to different people, they weren't allowed to utter the things that they saw. It's just so fantastic what God has ahead for us. That's why we ought to be stimulated and motivated and encouraged to evangelize the world and to tell good news about what Jesus has done, which takes away the sting of death and creates a sense of confidence that even when we die, we live. Yeah. That for the believer, it's coronation day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yet Paul said, "For me, to live is Christ." So in the sweet by and by, we know there are some blessings that we can't even articulate right now. But we also know in the difficult here and now, in the table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, there is an itemization of blessing. There are spiritual blessings that God has laid out for us. And I think Ephesians 1 is a great place to spend a little bit of time. Verse 1 to verse 14 in the New American Standard Bible, read along with me in yours. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus." The saints, it's not just a religious term. It's about God's holy people. Now, these were Gentiles who were separated from God, who didn't have any part in the covenant. They had no hope. They were without God. They were hedonists and pagans. And and they were just in their own secularized ideas, and they got rescued. And Paul is writing a letter to them, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ooh. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Yeah. Wow. How many of you guys noticed that there's a lot of revelation in these verses?
Yeah.
Well, that's why later on Paul prayed to the Father that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come on these people, that those who had received Jesus would come to understand. And the inheritance is mentioned twice in those 14 verses. And that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Qualified who? Those who have trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ, surrendered and repented of their sin, recognized they were hopeless in the world, they could not make themselves good. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Conviction came to these people. They realized that the law they could not fulfill, that they were hopeless in their sin. They couldn't climb out of the hole they were in, just like all of us. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But that Jesus came in on the scene, who never sinned, but he became a sin substitute. He said, look, I will take your sin so in order that you might have my imparted righteousness as a gift. It's a trade. You repent and surrender your life. You turn from your wicked ways. You trust me. You receive Jesus. You receive all of God's provision, and you'll have eternal life, and you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. So this is what happened to this group of people. It's pretty compelling. They were so lost. Just look at the history. The idolatry of the human body came out of this crowd. These people were sophisticated. Ephesus was a hub of cosmopolitan activity, a lot of trade routes and a lot of abundance and things like that, and a lot of distraction and diversionary life. And here they are, arrested in their tracks, brought out of darkness, and Paul is doing his best by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to bring clarity about these spiritual blessings. Verse 3 is what I want to expand on. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. He's blessed us with such blessing. The word blessed is powerful. It's not just some sort of little cute idea. It talks about when there's a blessing spoken or when blessings are conferred, what it really means is it's bringing God in on the matter. So when Jesus, for example, went into towns and mothers would bring their children to have Jesus lay his hands on them to bless them, they were asking for him to pray that God will get on their kids' lives. When he told the disciples to go into homes and bless the homes, he's actually saying we are to go forth and speak forth and believe God for God to fill up the place and God to move on the people's lives. that's much more than a sort of an acknowledgement after a sneeze. God is really calling us. The Bible says we should have blessings coming out of us and not cursings. But He blessed us. He downloaded upon us. He has given us divine privileges and resources that are available now. See, the psalmist in Psalm 27 said, I would have despaired unless I had believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just got through telling you, 99.9% of the incredible wonder of all this is on the other side. And eye has not seen nor ear heard, and no preacher is capable of explaining it. It's hidden and reserved for us in heaven. But there are some trickle-down things. In fact, they're actually lavished upon us. Divine privileges available to us now that we have to take hold of and draw near to the table and say, okay, Lord, that's mine. I'll take it. And see, how could we possibly obtain a possession if we're not aware of it, if we're not aware that we're invited? We're actually qualified to share in the inheritance. We were once separated and not a people. Now we're the people of God. That's one of the things I like about being in church, the partnership and the fellowship I have with the Father and with you guys. I mean, you could get around believers from other countries and other cities. And just, I just met a lady from Jackson, Tennessee. It was like just the fellowship, just an instant. We're brother and sister. You know, I was in an elevator and I talked to a lady and she just had this look in her eyes. And I looked at her and was like, hey, we're family. There's some sort of blood connection here. Little African-American lady, you know, skinny white preacher, and there we are together. I'm not skinny anymore. But we were like having church inside that elevator. Boy, you should have seen all the doctors and nurses. It was at a hospital. It was a fun moment. We had church in there. I said, does anybody in here love Jesus? She goes, I do. So when we got to the bottom floor, she said, he blessed you today, didn't he? And my first thought was, no, he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I wasn't just having a good hair day. I'm having a good hair eternity. I mean, St. Louis is like, wah, because we won the World Series. Ah, you know. But actually, the next day, everybody say the next day. Next day was the next day. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, and but this is, yeah. You know, this is, yeah, hallelujah. You know, for eternity. Eternity! Eternity! Well, eternity has come to us now. We have been given abundant life now. Listen, this is what's amazing. We're already in the early phases of our eternal life. There is definitely something reserved in the sweet by and by that eye has not seen nor ear heard, that cannot be communicated adequately with human words. In fact, is reserved for us, and God would rather not have it said because it's so special. It's so you can't peek until Christmas morning kind of a thing. It's holy. But He has poured out some things that we can see right in these verses. Here are some of the privileges, divine privileges and resources available to us now. Number one, an election. We are the elect of God. You know, on the 7th, we're supposed to go vote. We get to elect officials. We get to make decisions. And as American citizens, it's our responsibility to vote. Well, we've had a vote by the Creator of the universe, and He has actually invited us and included us in to an election. We've got His vote. We have the assurance that He has chosen us. In fact, it says He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. One verse said, whom He foreknew, He also did predestine. Now, this theology is not suggesting a fatalism that excludes some while including others, but it assures an appointed plan and guaranteed destiny for all the redeemed. Yeah. We have this assurance that we are accepted in the Beloved, that God has actually, He's chosen us, that before the foundations of the world, here's what I'm convinced of theologically, because we're free moral agents and we have choice, God did not create pre-programmed robots in the Garden of Eden. He has given us free will. He said, choose this day whom you'll serve. Joshua said, you can choose to follow what you want. As for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. Elijah said it this way, you could serve Baal, or serve God, serve God. Choose life or death, a blessing or the curse. So there we see there are decisional opportunities involved in this whole thing. Whom He foreknew, He also did predestine. So in other words, I believe in the big economy of things. God sees hearts. God knows situations. Of course, he knows everything. And within that, he knew that you would respond to the gospel. There is a lot to this theologically. I don't have time to unfold. But just to say, we have an election that cannot be annulled. We are chosen in him. This spiritual blessing gives you assurance that you are loved by God, that you are valued by God. It continues. Verse 5, it says, he predestined us to adoption as sons. We have a relationship that cannot be severed. My mom married Clyde Perry when I was 2 years old. That's my first memory. I remember the wedding. I remember that the best man, when they went on their honeymoon, he took me and they babysat me at their house. And as soon as we got in the car, I was talking to him and he said, would you please shut up? That's my first memory. First memory of a conversation with somebody telling me to shut up. Well, I just have never paid attention to that from the beginning. But anyway, never did that. Never did get that shut up thing. But when my grandfather was dying, his request was, because he felt uncomfortable because I was actually operating under an alias, an assumed name, that I really wasn't, in fact, Jeff Perry. That wasn't my legal name. So they went through the channels and got my biological father to sign on, and they went to a court and they got a lawyer and they stood before this judge. And to make a long story short, my name got changed, and a little while later, I got in the mail, and my parents gave it to me, a birth certificate. And it said the same exact birth date, the same weight, the same length, you know, the same color eyes that I had on, but yet it said that I was born to Clyde Perry and that my name was Jeffrey Charles Perry. So I had what was called a spirit of adoption, where I was not part of the kinship. I did not have a relationship. I was not related until there was this legal action that took place where I, that was separated, became one and got grafted into the family. And that's what Paul is saying to this group. And they really understood that, because during that time, they had all the systems of slavery and things. And there were times where slaves would actually pay off their period of slavery. And there would become such a bond in the family that the family would say, look, we love you so much. We regard you as family. We would love to have you in our family, and we'd like to go through the legal work of adoption. Would you like to be part of the family? And they would say either yes or no, depending on what they wanted to do. They more than often, history said, they said yes. They wanted to be part because they had grown to have such a connection and affection there. Well, there is a spirit of adoption. That's the first thing present when we start singing songs. That's the first thing present when Jesus taught how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. It's a statement of relationship. And that's what happened to these guys. They were separated, alienated, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. They had no hope. They were without God in the world. They were Gentiles, non-Jews, were not part of the covenant with God. They were separated. But as God promised, a Messiah would come through the lineage of Abraham and through the lineage of David. And unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus comes on the scene. He comes to seek and save that which is lost. He dies for our sins. He pays the price. As I talked about last week, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. He gives us the word of reconciliation. There's redemption poured into every cell and molecule of your being. We speak forth and show forth his praises. He puts his anointing on us because we're accepted in the beloved. We're now connected. This is one of the fascinating things about my relationship with Clyde Perry. He was a guy that was at the same babysitter. He didn't even know my mom. He knew me first. And then he took us on and brought me into adoption. I never knew any difference. He was my dad. Now, as we become Christians, the Bible says in Romans that we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is an endearing, familiar term for dad. I could hardly call God dad. Yet, in fact, that's what the essence of this adoption is. It's so intimate and so close that the creator of the universe, distant and austere, now all of a sudden presents himself to us in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He said, look, I know you're a sinner, but I forgive you. I love you. In fact, the Dutch version, we printed up t-shirts when we went and preached in Europe that said, Jesus loves you. We did it in French. We did it in Italian. We did it in Arabic, Hebrew. We did it in a lot of languages. And one of them was Dutch, because we went to Holland. And when it says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, in the Dutch Bible it says God was in Christ hugging the world to himself. That's their translation. God was in Christ embracing and hugging the world to himself. I feel God, as Paul is preaching there, these everlasting arms enveloping these people that were all alienated and separated, all bound up in pagan idolatry. I was at the art museum yesterday studying, and I look at some of this history and some of the worship of the body and the worship of all these false gods, and I think how God strikes into the darkness and the despair of that and brings in the hope of the gospel of Jesus. So when Paul preaches, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who's blessed us, past tense, he's given us every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. He has given us an election. I know that I have a spirit of adoption. I now have a relationship with God. He's my Father. He's my Father. And I could call him my very own Father. Jesus teaches his disciples, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father. It's so we're so privileged to get to call God Father. In the Old Testament, there was not much present indicating the fatherhood of God until at that moment, through that divine miracle of birth through Mary, and then that coming forth of Jesus on the earth, the message, even with John the Baptist, was repentance and was austere. But with Jesus, he comes in and he says, I'll fulfill the law and the requirements that you are incapable of fulfilling. You're hopeless. You're lost. But I will come and I will furnish forgiveness so you can have the spirit of adoption. I've got a paper that says Clyde Perry was my dad. It's a fascinating thing. When I was 14 years old and I read that, I was like, it's like he was at the hospital. As far as they're concerned, that's my dad. Yeah. In the legal paperwork of this inheritance, I was once separated and alienated. I was of my father, the devil. But now I've been grafted in. I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear son. I've had an identity shift. I'm free from sin now. I'm made alive to God. You're a new creature in Christ. And now you have divine privileges and resources. The next one, number three, I like this one. It's an acceptance that cannot be refuted. It's an acceptance. We have an election that cannot be annulled. We have a relationship that cannot be severed. We have an acceptance that cannot be refuted. Accepted in the beloved. Say that with me. Accepted in the beloved. That's in verse 6. In verse 6 in my translation, it says, he freely bestowed upon us, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. Freely, he gave it to us. He poured it out upon us. You know, we have a lot of acceptance and approval issues in our lives. Did you guys notice that? I remember when I was in the sixth grade, I was going out with a girl. And what that consisted of was I rode my Stingray bike to her house and I looked at her where her room was. She wasn't there, I don't think. But that's what I had. And then she told me, she said, hey, I want to go out with Tommy now. I don't want to go out with you anymore. Man, I went, oh, okay. I was on the phone. I said, oh, all right. I mean, I don't think we ever shook hands or anything. You know, we just were going together. But this was my introduction into rejection. I'm still dealing with that Tommy. I remember his name. Isn't that weird? That shows you. Rejection doesn't quickly go away. I'm dealing with it. All right, I'm getting over it, but I'm 50. I think I was what? Was I in sixth grade? 12. So, I mean, it's slow, but I'm working on it. I'm growing. Give me time. I'll tell you, there's something about where, look, you know, approval issues and acceptance. And the Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. I mean, the idea that Jesus' blood comes into a person's life, his work on the cross just encases all of our failings and all of our sin, and he basically covers it. The Bible says that though your sin is as scarlet, he makes it white as snow. He said, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. See, this is not a divine privilege for heaven that awaits us in heaven. We need remission and forgiveness and covering of sin and acceptance in the beloved now. We don't need to wonder now. We need to have that as security, which God brings that. When he accepts you, it's just a gift. It's such a privilege. Literally, the word accepted means graced with grace. Graced with grace. In Christ, it's a reoccurring term designated the sphere in which all salvation is realized and the realm in which God's kingdom purposes are fulfilled. God has brought us in order that He might work through us. He brings us in. He takes us where we're at. He forgives us and cleanses us of unrighteousness. He imparts His own righteousness into us. We become partakers of the divine nature. And it's not our own righteousness. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We're still these people going around as human beings. And yet God, the divine provider, has given us divine privileges that are available to us now. Resources that are such a treasure. The election. The relationship. I already have a spirit of adoption on me. I'm already accepted in the beloved. Number four, I love the word redemption. I have a redemption that could never be challenged. I'm redeemed. I'm paid for. I'm bought with a price. The Bible says that He's qualified us to share of the inheritance of the saints in light. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Not will have, we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. Why would you be happy with all the challenges, the persecution, the difficulties and strains in life? Because you're walking around with the assurance that you are accepted in the beloved. Not on the basis of your deeds. He didn't save us on the basis of deeds we've done in righteousness, or we'd all be in trouble because we can't save ourselves. Humanity at its best is still sinful and fallen. Yet here are these Ephesians. They come to know Jesus. They realize all they're convicted of their sin, and God grants them repentance, and they come into this change, and they receive the Lord, and they walk around with this assurance and this joy. Hallelujah. Even in the middle of trial, even in the middle of trouble. Acceptance. I saw a bulldozer push down a church that was recently built in China. Huge building. I saw another one, I think it's Belarus, where they took a cow barn and they turned it into a church with 1,000 people in this church. They said the persecution is worse now than under the communist regime. And yet the believers are, even though they're being rejected by their government regimes, they're resilient. They're accepted with God. The glory of God rests on them. The buildings will be pushed over or whatever. But the church is the body of people who have been brought in and bought with a price. We had our own church wiped out by a flood. We landed on our feet because it wasn't about buildings and facilities. We are built on the solid foundation of the revelation of Jesus. We receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So Korea does its nuclear tests. Polar ice caps melt. Gas prices fluctuate. Mudslinging on political campaigns. All this kind of crazy stuff in culture. But we have these divine privileges. We have a citizenship in heaven. We are going somewhere with God. In fact, I can't wait to tell you about the Holy Spirit. So that's number nine. So what number am I on now? Number five. We have a forgiveness. Verse 7. It says, forgiveness of our trespasses. One time long ago, Patsy and I got in an argument. We've been married 28 years. It's so long ago, and we've had, I think it was the one argument we ever had. We were in the middle of it. We were in the middle of negotiations. And right in the middle of it, why not? We're just mounting our defense in like a court of battle. Patsy says, I forgive you. I want you to know I forgive you. So I said, is this the forgiveness of real forgiveness? Or qualify the word forgive. She said, no, I forgive you. I forgive you. I refuse to get in strife here. I forgive you. It felt so good. I mean, I had a big defense mounted, but it was like, it feels better to be forgiven. Way to go. Have you ever been forgiven? Oh, I remember getting in trouble with my dad. He'd correct me. I remember after he'd correct me, he didn't harbor resentment. He was a quick to forgive type of individual. It would be okay. And I remember I'd have this guilt thing. I feel guilty. And he'd say, oh, the sentence was paid. And I knew that. I paid my debt to society. And let's move on now. Basically, forgiveness is saying, yep, let's move on now. Let's move on now. That's what forgiveness is for. So in order that we can move on now, we need to be urged forward with this awareness. There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. In other words, we don't live and cower under this wondering. if we're forgiven. It says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. He's rich in mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now there is judgment, and we don't want to play games by violating God's plans and God's purposes. But I'm telling you, this is encouraging that we, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to be forgiven. It's a forgiveness that will never be rescinded, a forgiveness of sins. Number 6, an abundance that can never be exhausted. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention. You guys, this abundance is based on this revelation. Listen, this was mysterious. It was formerly a divine secret. But now he's fully disclosing truth, that he's revealing something to us. Listen to me. This is what I want Family Church to get a hold of in this inheritance idea. We have actually have access to the mind of Christ. We have access to the very expressed will of God, where we could turn to these pages and go, okay, the Bible here says that he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm going to give the rest of my life to discover those divine resources that are available to me now, and I'll celebrate with anticipation those that are beyond on the other side. And I'll be so inspired by both of these that I'll want to get this over to everybody I can. To the lost, I want to give them the introductory information that'll get them out of sin and into salvation. To the saved, I want to download edification and encouragement as much as I can, because this is a hostile world and there is a deficit on the area of encouragement. We need to become more skilled at giving out good news. The world is doing a brilliant job of sharing bad news. The church needs to do a better job of sharing good news. Come on. That's part of the reason. Listen, no apology for it. God's called Family Church to be a church that translates into action. Action in worship, action in, with children's ministry, action even if it's dentistry or cleaning up a house that's been flooded or going and rebuilding a person's life, going in and building schools, going in and dealing with orphans and widows and things like that. God has called us to action. This abundance is Jesus came to give life. And that much very religious life. Did he say that? Did he say, hey, I came to give anemic and pale, dreary religious life? I came to paint beige world. I came to come and take a big paintbrush and paint all the green trees and all the green grass beige. We go into a church. Oh, the walls aren't really beige. This is Starbucks. But anyway, paint the music beige. Abundance. Do a study on it. He's rich in mercy. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I mean, Fred here had a business connection. One thing led to another. He spoke up and said, hey, I know some people who will utilize that resource. And one thing led to another. God used him catalytically so we could get furnishings for other people. And none of us are going to benefit from it except just the sweat of getting it from one place to the other. And a little bit of hassle, but the hassle ends up translating into phenomenal benefit for people on the other end. Yeah. So you go through a few hassles in life, but it all translates into impacting other people. I told about Ed Fosnight. He came to church on the first service last week, wanted to spend some time with his son, went down to Bob Evans. His son said, oh, let's just go to Caldi's. It's faster. He said, no, we need to go to Bob Evans, have a full meal. Plus, we need to, there's a waitress there I need to talk to. So he waited 15 extra minutes to get the right station so he could talk to this waitress, because he got inspired by the message last week about a ministry of reconciliation. So here he is battling a kidney issue, and he's been out of work for a little while. He's been really going through, frankly, some real difficult times. But in spite of it, he goes down there, spends hang time with his son, FaceTime with his wife. He talks to the waitress. She says, aren't you from Family Church? Aren't you? She said, yeah. She said, I just got diagnosed with breast cancer. Would you pray for me, please? So God set this whole thing up. It was a hassle. He should have been in bed, but he stepped up, came in fellowship, went down there and spent some time with his family, pressed on through, and because of abundant life on him, he played through injury. I'm telling you, there are divine privileges and resources available to us now that the enemy wants to obscure. Get you managing your expectations. Get us not really wanting to pray the prayer of faith. Well, I prayed that before. It didn't work. No, we're going to believe God's word works. He's not the one that has the breakdown. So we'll approach it with respect. He says he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. A theologian could argue that's in heavenly places. Yeah, okay, well, the Bible says my citizenship is in heaven and I'm seated in heavenly places. And plus it says that he lavished them upon us. He lavished them. Look at verse 8. It says, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Verse 8 says, he lavished. Everybody say lavished. Lavished. It said in my side margin, made abundant toward. Now listen, yesterday is a case in point. We had all these rooms. We had all these refrigerators, all these couches, all these beautiful framed pictures. And I don't mean cheap. I mean, it was beautiful. The stuff is amazing. We just kind of went, wow. Not only that, but somebody provided wrap. So there was a whole wrap team. We had a wrap team wrapping the furniture. I mean, it was amazing. And it was like our cup runneth over. But I think about the people they're going to get on the other end of that. I think it's so awesome. Think about these kids that are sitting there in the dental chair all freaked out of their mind, but they're getting face paint and balloons and stuff to distract them. And the dental, and then they come out and their teeth are good. And the parents got free work, $250,000. Think about the family I met outside where they're standing out there and they look real fresh. And I said, how are you guys doing? I said, we're doing great since we've been coming here. So what do you mean? And they were talking about, my kids love your church. We love being here. And so it's like, yeah, you know, when I became a Christian, I was 16. They said, we became a Christian here. And I looked and I thought, all these kids, and they're just excited. They're learning about the Lord. They're learning about redemption. They're coming into a relationship with God. These people that have lived life and got educated and worked hard and earned their way through life, all of a sudden go, wait a minute, nothing really is meeting the need. Nothing is addressing this sense of futility. And then they come to know Jesus and man, the lights go on. The lights go on. I believe this is going to spread. I'm convinced. I mean, since I became a Christian, the percentages of believers in China have escalated. I'm convinced there's some things set up where there's just going to be a lot of people coming out of darkness. And this is, I believe, the attractive fuel that gets people in an understanding heart to come to know the Lord. Election, relationship, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, abundance. I believe in it. There's a couple that came to our church. They were educated in a field and they got these jobs and they're brand new newlyweds and so forth. Then their particular field just tanks. And that whole area they had been preparing for just bottoms out. And they're like, this is what we focused on in our education and all that's it's gone. So then the husband took a lesser paying job. At one point he was making $800 a month. Their bills were exceeding their income. They were like really struggling. Then God gave them an idea. Their last year income was somewhere around $5 million. They have 16 employees. God brought, and they said, we still live in a modest budget because we believe God's given us all this so we can sow seed and believe God to reach the nations of the world. And God gave them creative ideas. Yay! It's about abundance. Say this with me, my cup runneth over. Depressed, sad people say my cup is half empty. Optimists say, hey, my cup's half full. But believers say, my cup runneth over. Or somebody says, my cup was half full or half empty, but somebody tipped it over. That's what a lot of people say. That's what a lot of people think. But I'm telling you, man, we are upright and we are receptors. I mean, what else is God wanting to do? What else is God wanting to do? Stand at attention in your heart. God, you lavish these things upon us. Wisdom and insight. The mystery has been revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Couple more points. A revelation, number 7, a revelation that will never be superseded, which is the mystery of his will. He made known to us something that had been afore hidden. Formerly a divine secret is now being made known according to his kind intention. In other words, God likes giving us revelation. That's why he prayed a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come. I pray God gives you revelation. I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation gets on you. Revelation is revealed knowledge. Revelation is where the veil pulls back and you go, aha! It's where it occurs to you. There's something more for my life than this piddly doodad and thingamabob. I'm called to do this. God, I'm called to show forth His praises. We are created for His pleasure. We are people that are to be filled with a worshipful heart and a grateful heart. Why? Because He has sown all these beautiful, precious, and magnificent promises to us. A spirit of wisdom and revelation, I pray, will come on your life and govern you. 8, an inheritance that can never fade away. Look at verse 11 and verse 14. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 14, He's given us a pledge or an surety, an earnest of the inheritance. What is our inheritance? I just showed you a few things. That we are accepted in the Beloved. We could call God our Father. We have a ministry of reconciliation where we could tell others. We're to have signs and wonders follow us. Get a load of this. These works and greater works shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. And I'm just winding it down now. Lastly, we have a seal. And then number 10, we have a pledge. The seal of the Holy Spirit cannot be dissolved. A seal implies a couple of things. You ever have those glad bags with the two stripes? They got a new one now. You stripe, you push, you close the one, and then there's one on the top, so you could double close them. There's some with the zippers. You ever see the one with the zippers? I don't trust those as much. But the ones where you squeeze it and it goes from blue and yellow, it turns green. Have you ever seen those? It's like, you know that thing's sealed. Okay, so then now they've also got a product where you can seal it and then you get a little vacuum thing and you suck all the air out of it so it's vacuum sealed. So your food lasts forever. You know what I'm talking about? Well, we are sealed much better than any of that. Now, also, another aspect of being sealed is whenever they wrote important documents. I saw this in a movie once. Napoleon wrote a letter. He folded it over. Then he spilled wax, special wax, and he had his signet ring. And that was his mark, and he sealed it so that no one else could peek, no one else could open it, no one else could. It was something very private and something very special. When God sent His Holy Spirit on the earth, He was saying something big. He was basically saying, it's earnest, it's like a down payment for the future. A third person of the Trinity has come into our lives, the Holy Spirit committed to us to come and dwell in us. As a foreshadowing of the things to come, of the complete ultimate of what we're going to have in the future. So we walk around on earth. You know, I bought a house once and they insisted on earnest money. And it wasn't like, well, I'll send you $10. No, you put like $10,000 or $50,000, you know, or whatever the amount is, it's real cash money. You're making a statement. They put it in an escrow account and they just put it there. Because what you're saying is, I intend to follow through with the completeness of this thing. Right? When God sent His Holy Spirit to the church, He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, to that fuller day when the 99.9% of everything on the other side is all revealed to us. But He wants us right now to access these divine privileges, these resources available to us now. Amen. We have access to God now. When we pray, we believe we receive now. I wasn't surprised when opportunity opened up to us. Why? Because the Bible says He'll open a door no man can shut. I'm not surprised when people get healed when I pray, because the Bible said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm not surprised when somebody falls in love with somebody, gets married, they have babies and they live life and they live strong, because the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. One could chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. You know, yesterday with all the blessing in that hotel, there's still things bombarding and grenades lobbing in my mind. I'm still dealing, right in the middle of all that blessing, I'm still having to deal with all this other stuff too. When the Red Sea parted, they still had Pharaoh and his army bearing down on them. When the disciples, when the multitudes were increasing, persecution hit, but they spread, and everywhere they went, they preached, and more people heard the gospel. So it's reality. There are challenges. There are trials. But we have divine privileges that are available to us now. Say this with me. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, God has blessed me with. Grace and peace, mercy and redemption. We have obtained an inheritance. Now you're here, and if you're not a Christian, you need to give your life to Jesus because you're outside of the framework of all that I just preached. You're outside looking in, and I encourage you to really make a step and receive the Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus. Ask Him to come in and forgive you of your sin. And you can't earn salvation. You can't change and become a better person. That won't do it. You have to be changed from the inside by receiving Jesus, because He alone is the one that has satisfied all the sentence and all the punishment and all the what separates us from God. He became sin so we could have righteousness. How many of you made that, you received the Lord and you know there's something, you're on to something? Who would say, you know what, I know things are different since I've become a Christian. Isn't it true? This is a new and living way. We're not just, well, there's some religious people, go to church, hallelujah, and we eat afterwards, you know. No, it's there's something amazing that's all over us. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of grace. We're sealed. There's an inheritance. We're accepted. That girl took Tommy over me. Can you believe it? But God has set before me the opportunity. He's called upon me. I'm elect, and I've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Come on, you guys, this is so good. Just believe God. You know, He doesn't want us to be obnoxious. He wants us to be effective. He wants us to be sharing Jesus effectively in a non-threatening way. He wants us to banish all the lingo and jargon. He wants us to be actually what will speak to people is excellence. What will speak to people is real eye contact, wide awake, real Christianity. No beige, full color, supernaturally serious about the things of God. Let's pray before we go. I want to pray for the will of God and the plan of God to come to pass in your life. Father, I ask that you just move mightily on the men and women in this place. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here who's not right with you, that they will surrender to you. They'll repent. They'll move forward. They'll lay aside every weight and encumbrance and the sin that so easily besets. God, I pray you help all of us. Strengthen us so that we won't yield. Strengthen us so that we'll fight the fight. Deliver us from discouragement so we'll not yield to evil and to temptation. Help us to stay fortified. You know how to deliver the godly from temptation. Keep us out of trouble, Lord. God, rescue us. With every temptation, you provide a way of escape. And now, Father, I pray you would just download amazing awareness in people's hearts about all their rights and privileges, the power they have in prayer, the overcoming nature during times of discouragement. God, if people have let people down, which it happens, I pray you move mightily to bring comfort and aid and strength in everybody's heart. I pray you bring peace right now. I speak blessing over this group of people. I pray they'd be blessed coming in and blessed going out. We pray for our city that during October 31st night, there'd be safety on all the kids around the traffic. God, no perverts are messing with any kids in our city. No abductions, no weirdnesses. We bind that in the name of Jesus. We pray a protective hedge around our town. And we pray, God, especially around what we're doing here, that everything's smooth and cool. Everybody's just has a wonderful night. Jesus will be exalted and honored. We pray for safety as people come and go. I pray everybody in this room has an amazing revelation of your love and grace, of all the inheritance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. Have a great day.